PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
You still think of yourself Chinese, or do you ever think of yourself as North American?
You know what I want to think of myself? As a human being. Because, I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, as Confucius say, but under the sky, under the heaven, man, there is but one family. It just so happened, man, that people are different.
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
Stay calm. Stay calm. I'm a relatively respectable citizen. Multiple felon, perhaps, but certainly not dangerous.
Still humping the American dream. That vision of the big winner somehow emerging from the last-minute pre-dawn chaos. What was I doing? What was the meaning of this trip? Was I just roaming around in a drug frenzy of some kind?
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
All right, here we go. Take two of episode 260 of Cinema Crespediso.
Welcome back to the first half.
To the first half. Take two. Action. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Crespediso studio. How's it going, everyone? I have your current threat level. Update threat level is green. Forest green. Okay. Abandon your children.
In what?
Wherever you need to abandon them.
That doesn't, usually at a fire station or hospital.
Theme parks are good for abandonment.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
A lot of people, a lot of employees, a lot of interested souls. With us, as always, is Drew Sakonagra. Drew!
What up, dude?
How you doing?
Last day of the year. Really looking forward to the dumpster fire of 2017 being over with.
Yeah, so we can get on with the bigger. Now we're moving on to a tire fire.
Well, I mean, is that what I mean?
2018 will be a tire fire.
I mean, eventually, I mean, the dumpster has to go, into the dump truck first, and then the truck goes to...
Drives to the tire fire?
Yeah.
Set your dump truck on fire. Don't do it!
So this year, the dump truck will be on fire if, you know, things continue.
That does sound like a bad idea. With the sage advice, a returning guest, though his first time by himself. I feel like this is actually long overdue. From the Swervy Jones Show, ladies and gentlemen, it's Trey!
I wish you just had booze on there instead.
I got booze.
He's got to find him.
Alphabetical order.
Yes. I feel like a wrestler, you know.
You're the heel.
I'm the heel.
Nikolai Volkov, 1984.
Break your back.
Welcome, Trey. Yes, I double-checked. All right. The last time you were on the show was with Swervy.
Yeah.
Episode 202.
That's the one where we did the combo with the member show and...
No. That was a separate bonus show that we did July of this year. Episode 202 was like December of last year.
Well, goddamn.
I know, goddamn. That's what I'm saying.
Long.
I was shocked. I felt like we've done a lot more together.
This year flew by.
The year did
they
fly
always
by.
Do.
And fact is... I think it's long overdue that we finally have Trey here, like, in the hot seat by herself as our main guest, and I appreciate you hanging out with us on this New Year's Eve, buddy.
Is the seat supposed to be hot?
It gets hot in the lightning round.
Is it
not hot? Hang on, let me turn that up a little bit.
We'll turn up the heat now. Drew's got the controls over there. It was pretty cold in here. Man, you should see yesterday I had opened up all the doors, got the temperature down to, like, 63 degrees in here. First, it hit 69. I gave myself a high five. And then it kept going down. And I was like, yeah. And then it kept going and went all down to 63. I was walking around in my stockinged feet. It was fantastic.
All right.
Yeah, it was good.
So cold.
Yes. It was great.
So cold.
It was great.
I can't do it.
You got it. It's like spring cleaning, but during the winter. You got to air out the funk, but you got to freeze it out.
You got to freeze out the funk.
Freeze out the funk. That's good stuff. Man, we should really start a karaoke group of some sort.
All right.
Pitch Perfect 4. We're going to reboot Pitch Perfect, but it's going to be...
The male version.
The male version.
All right. Yeah.
Because there's not enough roles for men.
Yeah,
of course. Exactly. You know, especially women, white guys.
Especially white men.
No.
Oh, well, then that leaves me. I fake. I'll change my last name.
2018.
Crespini. I'm Chris Crespini. Yeah,
you're Italian.
We're from Italy.
Yeah, it's okay. You're fine. Yeah, you're not Puerto Rican, you're Italian. That's fine.
That's all. Crispini sounds delicious.
I had some Crispinis last night at Maggiano's. It was great stuff. My parents had a fake, didn't fake it, but they were assumed to be Italian mm-hmm. in the 70s by a realtor, mm-hmm. and they didn't dissuade the person of their non-Italianness, and then they were allowed to rent a home in a neighborhood in Brooklyn.
Nice.
Their first really? Home as a married couple. Yeah. So
so they were only selling to Italians.
It was
that kind of neighborhood.
It was that kind of neighborhood.
All right.
It was that kind of neighborhood.
It was a different time.
Yes, it was.
Was
well,
it
is
though?
It though? Is it really?
Some people said it was a bit... God damn it. America, America, this is you.
I thought you were going with America.
Yeah.
Fuck
that,
yeah.
That was America's Funniest Home Video,
Chris. That was America's Funniest Home Video, yeah. Not Team America World Brothers.
You want Bob Saget instead.
I guess.
All right.
Oh, weird. Bob Saget. Yeah, get the pronounce that correctly, please. All right, before we start the show, good thing I wrote this down, because mm-hmm. I just forgot it until the moment I read it on my piece of paper, and I wrote this yesterday. And I even said, Drew, don't let me forget this.
Hey, reminder.
Thank you, Drew. That was a reminder.
Okay.
So people do sometimes, I've seen it for the last few years, I see it, I always think about it, but it's so much work. The whole idea of watching like 365 movies in 365 days, like over the course of a year, which is crazy, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of movies.
That's a lot of movies. I was like, man, I would love to do something like that. It's that sort of like movie commitment type thing is right up my alley, but it's too much. 365 is crazy, man.
Yeah.
But I want to do something, though. I want to do something like that. So, Crespediso, we're doing it for 2018, and I need you guys to help me figure out a hashtag for it so we can all participate. Who wants to participate? Okay. But I'm going to do, in 2018, I'm going to set out to watch 100 movies in 2018. And they have to be new movies. No rewatches do not count. So that's the idea. And then document it on Twitter with the hashtag. I wrote down, hashtag baby CC100 or hashtag Crespediso Hundo, hashtag Hundo Crespediso, you know, something like that. Guys, work with me here.
Just don't hashtag and keep it 100 because you'll never find
that's
it.
That's why I want to slap on a CC or Crespediso or something.
It could just be the Crespo Hundo.
The Crespo Hundo? The Crespo Hundo.
It's nice and short.
And people are like, what's the Crespo Hundo? And you put in the Crespo Hundo, and then as you obviously we're all keeping track, so as you... What the idea is, say you watch Molly's Game, right, this week, I'll put on Twitter Molly's Game, a quick review, liked it, didn't like it, whatever, review it, and then like 1/100, it's 1 out of 100, hashtag Crespo Hundo.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. All right, hashtag Crespo, the Crespo Hundo, the Crespo Hundo, or just
the, is it T-H-E or T-H-A?
T-H-E.
That music,
are you going
your intro music says THA.
It does.
The intro
music does say THA.
And it's a little bit of THC.
Not a whole lot of that.
The Crespo Hundo, THA. The Crespo Hundo. Now we're adding to that. I feel unnecessary.
Just Crespo Hundo.
Hashtag Crespo Hundo. We're dropping the duh. See, because it could be DA. I like DA. I would have gone DA Crespo Hundo.
Duh
Crespo. And then people are like, District Attorney Crespo?
Yes. District Attorney Chris Crespo.
All right, so...
Give him the needle, Chris.
So, guys, if you want to participate... Give him the needle. We're going to Jack McCoy style, give him the needle. If you want to participate, and then the cool thing about it being 100 is you can get on it late. You know, you don't have to jump on right at the beginning of the year. If you hear this in a week or two, or maybe it's even February, you can jump on in February and still catch up. Also, while you want to try to finish it, if you get to the end of the year, you're at like 40, 50, 70. Yeah. Yeah, it's just to see how many you can get. If you do over 100, that's cool too. Then we know who has more time on their hands than others. Yeah.
A little less than 2 movies a week. Mm-hmm. It's 52 weeks, yeah, you know.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's reasonable. And considering all the new movies that come out, we already see automatically like 50 movies a year based on just doing the show.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Florida Film Festival adds another 5, 10 to 15based on my schedule.
Yeah.
So that's like almost 3/4.
You know, seriously, I would be surprised if we already watched 100 movies last year.
Yeah.
But
not 100 new movies.
New ones? That's the thing. How many new movies did we watch like at home or on DVD? That's often a lot of like rewatching for me and stuff like that. Going back and, you know, some comfort Michael Mann or It's like comfort food, but instead I wanted dystopian hellscape.
Yeah, I mean, I did watch Zodiac a couple times last year.
I rewatched Children of Men on, was it Christmas night?
Yeah.
I feel like...
Oh, that is an oddly depressing movie for Christmas night.
Here's the thing.
That's a yin and yang scenario.
I guess the Christ child is born.
The Christ child.
Of sorts.
It was, I think it was Christmas Miracle night. Baby. It was either Christmas or the day after. I think it was Christmas night, because then the next day, I went online on Facebook, and I had tweeted... that gives you the 1 year ago, your memory. See all your memories on Facebook. One of them was an article about Children of Men and how we're living in a Children of Men present, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, maybe Children of Men and Christmas do go together. So I'm starting a new tradition. Every Christmas time-ish, the day before, day after, gotta watch Children of Men.
All right. I'm okay with that. It's a great movie.
I even put it on. I was like, I don't think I'm going to watch this whole thing. I'm just going to start it.
Some people like the Christmas story, but I mean, it's all you, boo.
I watch a Christmas story, too. You can watch them both. Yeah. Christmas Vacation. I made sure to watch a Christmas Vacation.
Did you watch Die Hard this year?
Yep.
No, I haven't. I didn't watch Die Hard. Actually. No. I should watch Die Hard too.
It's not Christmas till Hans Gruber falls.
Seriously. Or when an airplane blows up, because Die Hard 2 is also
Gruber. Gruben.
Gruben. Is that past tense?
I don't know.
You got
MacGruber.
MacGruber.
Yeah.
Any Christmas in MacGruber? No. If only it were a Shane Black movie. All right. Well, here we go. The Crespo Hundo, guys. Hashtag Crespo Hundo. Join me on our journey of watching new movies together, and it'll be a lot of fun. We'll do it on Twitter. You can probably also do the hashtag on Instagram as well. And then tag us. Tag our account, at CrespoDiso on Twitter, Instagram, Cinema CrespoDiso. All right, here we go. Let's start the show with the pick of the week.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema
Crespediso
Streaming!
That's right, Cinema Crespediso Streaming, pick it up. Week. You can go ahead and just let us know out loud, Trey. What is the pick of the week? And Drew, we'll look it up right now on justwatch.com.
Jackie Brown!
Oh, that's gotta be on there. That's pretty recent, I think. A recent edition. Is it just Netflix? You users out there, Quentin Tarantino's Jackie Brown. Fantastic movie.
Great soundtrack.
Oh, so good. Across 110th Street and all this awesome stuff. Some Johnny Cash is on there. Elmore Leonard. Sort of book adaptation. It's an adaptation of like two books.
Okay.
And then there's a weird thing where Michael Keaton's character is like the same character in Steven Soderbergh's of Out of Sight.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta creep.
Yeah.
Creep.
You gotta creep. Oh my god. Well, that was the other guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. Maybe the best part of that movie. Michael Keaton's weird obsession with. It's like those are just straight up lyrics.
Yeah.
Then he like say the waterfall lyrics. Go chase some waterfalls. Like, what are you doing? That was such a weird character. And it's a fantastic, fantastic fun movie. Pam Grier pretty much reprising her like 70s badass exploitation role.
Yeah.
Most iconic one being Foxy Brown. I mean, not a coincidence. Foxy Brown, Jackie Brown. What's his name? Robert Forster, Max Cherry Bale Bonds. That dude, he's fantastic. So many great actors. Sam L. Jackson's got that weird, like, beard and ponytail.
Kangle hat,
ponytail combo thing.
I mean, Robert De Niro's got the handlebar mustache the whole time.
He's a handlebar mustachioed ex-con stoner hanging out with Bridget Fonda, watching TV. Weird movie, man. They throw Chris Tucker in a trunk and shoot him.
Oh, I forgot about that. You're right, they do. Yeah. They totally do.
He's like, man, I just got out of jail. I'm high.
You think Samuel L. Jackson was growing that ponytail for Star Wars?
Ah, he knew like in 2 years they're going to need me.
Well, did he have a ponytail or was he just straight bald?
No, he was straight bald.
Okay.
And then,
a lot of them had ponytails. That was weird, right?
Yeah, it was weird. Their whole, like, their Jedi braid system.
Yeah.
And then,
It was off of Kunta Kinte, where the barber scene, you know?
Yeah.
You know the boy, Kunta.
Kunta Kinte.
Yeah, off of like, Coming to America.
It's like, man, I use berries.
Yeah.
Fruit and berries. It's like, man, and I'm an ultra perm.
Just make it nice and neat.
That'd be $12. And now we're just saying lines from movies. No, it's just a reference
Fantastic.
Show.
Fantastic.
That's our not new, what this show is?
This is our new podcast. Reference
references.
Show. Nothing but references. I do love a good reference, though, man. Coming to America is so good. Mm-hmm. So good. Try also, doesn't that take place part of time around Christmas?
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
The party that he has some valet at the end and then they're serving drinks. Mm-hmm. I think that's a Christmas party.
Yeah, it was definitely set in the wintertime.
Yeah, so it's definitely a winter people watch mm-hmm. Coming to America. You know they're making a sequel? Coming to America 2?
Mm. Are they?
Yeah, they are.
Interesting.
Is Chris Tucker coming into that?
I don't. Probably not. But you know who is? It's written by the person Ooh. Who does Blackish.
Okay. That's yes. Anthony Anderson.
Well, no.
Dion Cole?
The actual showrunner.
Okay.
The actual person who created the show Blackish okay. and writes it is the one who is writing the script. Arsenio Hall is going to be Eddie Murphy. I think it's...
That's cool.
I think it's...
Is there kids or...
I think it's the next generation and then maybe okay. going from New York to Africa.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite. They flipped it.
They're going back.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Going back, something like that.
To Africa to find your queen.
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
Interesting.
It'll be fun. It'll be a good time. Jackie Brown, great stuff. Great soundtrack. It's Quentin Tarantino. It's watch on the biggest TV you can, as loud as you can. And get high. Get high while you watch it. Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go. Let's talk about some money. Stupid. A box office recap time. We're talking about that top five box office. Drew.
Chris.
Where are we starting top five?
Number 11.
What? That don't make no sense.
Number 11 this week, The Shape of Water made $3.49 million.
That's not bad for an 11.
Total of 15.
Not bad at all, actually. In how many theaters?
It expanded just a little bit, so it's in 756.
So still a fairly limited release under 1,000 screens. Like 1,000 is considered wide release. So it's pretty close. Like, for example, here in town, it's playing at the Enzian Theater in Maitland, which is our nonprofit theater, but you can also find it playing at the AMC at the Altamont Mall. So it's not like it's hard to find, but it's kind of limited. We saw this movie, The Shape of Water. Do you know anything about this, Trey?
I don't. In
marketing? It is about a mute lady. It's, what, in the 50s?
Mm-hmm.
Set in the 50s-ish. She works for the government. She's a janitor, part of the janitorial staff. Cleaning up in this underground facility where they house assets, whatever that means. And then she falls in love with one of the assets, which happens to be some sort of fish man that they pulled out of the Amazon jungle.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck?
Yeah. It's a creature from the Black Lagoon love story type of thing. It's a very interesting adult fairy tale type of movie. All right. That would be classified. So we saw this, Drew. What did you think?
I thought it was great. I mean, it is. It's another one of these Guillermo del Toro movies. He likes...
A lot like Pan's Labyrinth.
Very much like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like all of his, you know, monster-esque movies. It's very creepy. Kind of dark.
Yep.
Hauntingly beautiful.
Funny. Humor.
Oh, of course.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's he hits all the notes as always. It's pretty fantastic.
And the effects are pretty incredible. The
the practical.
Yeah.
And that's probably the most impressive thing. It's dude in fish suit.
Yeah, but
that's nice.
Yeah, and I've talked about this. I reported on this. They talked about the guy's suit, what he wore, and it was like this crazy skin tight latex suit that he had to Vaseline himself up in order to get into it.
Oh,
and
come out baby soft.
Hopefully, the problem is if the suit got wet, it will become very heavy and lumber and like it'll be cumbersome to use.
And he was in the water and almost the whole time.
He's a fish creature. He's a fish man.
Yeah.
So he's always wet.
So it's absorbent?
It's absorbing the water. He's super heavy. There's a sort of, I guess it's like, yeah, it's a fantasy scene, like a flashback fantasy scene where the girl played by Sally Hawkins, who's a great actress, and this, she's fantastic. She's so good. She has she fantasizes about doing like a Lawrence Welk ballroom style dance number with the fish man, fish creature. So they had to hire a professional dancer to put on the suit and to dance in the suit. And Guillermo del Toro said, the director, he said that the first time that they tried to shoot with this guy, he did a pirouette and then he turned around and just projectile vomited everywhere from like trying to dance while wearing this suit.
Oh my god!
But if you watch the movie, there's a full-on, there's a nice little dance full number dance with number, him. He's moving around.
It's crazy.
Right. It's pretty wild stuff.
Probably hard to cast somebody with the same build to fit in the same suit.
Yes, exactly. And then that can do what you're asking of them, which is some very like nice ballet, ballroom style dancing, excuse me. Yeah. And then the rest of the movie is this guy, Doug Jones. Mm-hmm. Who? All right. So did you see Pan's Labyrinth? Do you remember that movie from like 10 years ago now?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
It's the one with the guy with the eyeballs on his hands, and he holds them up to his face.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. There's a bunch of monsters in that movie.
That's all like, real monsters.
All played. Yes.
Boom! Right behind you, Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth. Where? Pan's Labyrinth.
Boom! Left.
Pan's Labyrinth. Pan's Labyrinth. All over.
There it is.
There it is. You knew me in the wall somewhere. Mm-hmm. Played by the same guy, Doug Jones. He does all those creatures. He was also a Silver Surfer in that Fantastic Four movie. But then they used Lawrence Fishburne's voice. Although, when he shot the movie, he did all the dialogue with his own voice. And then he was hoping, oh, maybe, fingers crossed, maybe they'll let me use my own voice for once in the movie. No, Lawrence Fishburne. No. Sorry, Doug. But he's fantastic in this. It's all like, you know, he's not talking, he's making sounds, so it's all like physical acting for both of them.
Because
he's a fishman. He doesn't speak English.
Okay, exactly. And the girl's lead character's mute, so it's
a match made in heaven.
It is a match.
It is.
Exactly. You know, and it's beautiful, actually, how it works. How you have this mute character and this fish man, and they don't speak English, and they're like the most developed and explored characters in this movie. It's done really well. It's good, man. I recommend it to anyone, because it's like very interesting. Now, the older folks, people who aren't into monster movies, may be a little squeamish here and there, because it does get kind of bloody at times.
Well, that's a classic monster movie makeup.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
Style, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing. All right, so like Pan's Labyrinth, right? When I saw that, I was working in a very small office with some older folk, you know? So I was like, maybe at that time when the movie came out, I was like mid to late 20s. And the people they were like, oh, we're working in such a small office that they could be like, oh, you want to go see a movie? Like, yeah, let's go to a movie. And we went over here, and one of those plans, like, oh, after this movie's supposed to be really good, let's go see it. And it was like a dark, crazy, violent movie with people getting stabbed in the cheek.
Wartime.
Yeah, wartime. And it was violent.
Creepy monsters.
It was wild. And they were both like, yeah, I really, really, really liked it. They really enjoyed it, even though there were parts of it that they did not like at all. And to the point where one lady was like, I loved it. I don't think I'll ever see it again. I'll never again. this is the same thing where I think some people watch it and like, well, love it. But then they're like, but I can't.
Yeah, I mean, it's Guillermo del Toro, so.
Exactly. So, all right. It's Shape of Water recommended, Drew, yes?
Almost definitely, 100%.
All right, people, check out The Shape of Water. It's great stuff. All right, so that was number what?
11.
Moving on to number 5, Drew, go!
Number 5.
You gotta be quicker than your toes, Drew!
Ferdinand! $11.6 million, total of 53. Budget of 111, it's never going to make its money back.
Ferdinand, why did they even make this movie? So stupid.
Because apparently...
Exactly.
Because apparently Fox had $111 million to burn.
$111 million, Fox? You stupid. That's why you got bought.
Speaking of money to burn, have you seen the abomination Disney made with Oprah? And Zach Galifianakis? What the fuck is that going to be?
A Wrinkle in Time?
Yeah.
That looks...
It looks nuts.
Wild.
Yeah.
That looks wild. It could be amazing or terrible.
It's going to be... There's probably going to be both. Ground.
Both? I'm fine with both.
It's going to be amazingly terrible.
I'm fine with both. Or terribly amazing.
Yeah.
How did this... I remember loving the book. But I was also
A book?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a classic book.
Okay.
Featuring a lot of like crazy altered dimensions and the nothing is coming to like take over everything and destroy all goodness and light. Mm-hmm. And it's also supposed to be a Christian allegory of some sort, but it's been so long that I don't remember the allegory, nor do I actually remember. I remember there's the happy medium is in this movie.
Where was the story? The algorithm.
The algorithm.
Okay.
We already called the show the algorithm. I can't
call the algorithm is going to get you.
Algorithm gonna get you. Rhythm's gonna get you. Who is that?
Why'd you sing it like Michael McDonald?
I sing
Gloria Estefan.
I sing everything like Michael McDonald. Rhythm is gonna get you. Because it's so much easier that way. It's either that or Luther Vandross.
Yeah.
Right, here we go. That's more like a monkey.
That was more Aaron Neville.
Aaron Neville. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking yes, not Luther Vandross. You're correct, sir. Thank you, Trey. I appreciate that. Doesn't he look like a weird bear creature with that shirt on?
It's so comfortable.
I know.
All right. No idea how comfortable it is.
I've derailed the show many times.
Derailed the show. The show resides in the train graveyard, man. It's off the rails.
I permanently. Say train graveyard.
Gravy train?
Oh, it's backwards to the gravy train.
Number 4 this week.
You're getting that train gravy.
The Greatest Showman. made $15.27 million. Total of $48.7 million.
The Greatest Showman. You know what?
Hugh Jackman as a cobbler.
Hugh Jackman as the cobbler who starts a circus.
Who thinks of this shit? Who the fuck thinks of this shit? I'm going to get Wolverine to build shoes.
Yeah, we thought of that. It's gonna be fantastic. Yeah. Wolverine build shoes, starts the circus.
Wolverine is P.T. Barnum.
He's P.T. Barnum, and he's like, the shoe business isn't working out for me. I'm gonna get all these freaks together and put them on display for 2 bits.
And I'm never gonna tell anybody I have adamantium claws.
And I'm not gonna tell anyone I have adamantium claws. And we're gonna pretend that this whole sideshow thing is in the name of equality and acceptance and whatever, and not exploitation.
Which it totally
exploiting
is.
The downtrodden and making money off them.
Yeah. Which is what it was.
I only know one person who saw this movie. Mm-hmm. And she loved it. So what are you gonna do? She thought it was great.
I mean, it's Hugh Jackman doing a song and dance thing. It's what he loves.
He likes Broadway. He's a Broadway man.
No, he is a song and dance
man.
He's
a song and dance man. Yes, he's done Broadway many times. He's come up in theater. And I wonder if he knows Australian Santa.
Australian
probably.
Santa?
Probably.
Australian Santa? Yeah, you don't know Australian
Santa. Oh, good Lord. Oh, good Lord.
Australian Santa. Australian Santa. You know, it's still Christmas in the land countries. Yeah, until Three Kings Day. They're keeping me busy down there.
Number three this week.
Okay, I gotta go. Australian Santa, out.
Pitch Perfect 3.
Thanks, Australian
made,
Santa.
Made $17.78 million, total of 64.
What was this one? Which one?
Pitch Perfect 3.
I think
by far the worst reviewed one of them all.
It is the worst reviewed one of them all, and I think it was either last week or the week before I predicted Pitch Perfect 4 is going to be some sort of reboot down the road. The new class, the new kids are going to find a way to keep going with the Pitch Perfect name. It's going to be one of these improbable, like, continuing franchises. And then I saw online this past week some articles about ideas already being floated for Pitch Perfect 4, rebooting it out, so it's already it's
5 years down the road. Their daughters are all in college.
Yes, exactly.
And they're all singing together.
Anna Kendrick won't come back, but like one of the fringe girls will come back as like the coach or the manager or something like that to tie it all together. You know how these things go. Let's make some money, guys.
Number two this week, Jumanji: Welcome to the Jungle. We can gross $50.5 million, total of $169.
Wow. It's a jungle in that colon.
That is.
There's a colon in the jungle. What's the budget?
$90.
160 total?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a...
$169, actually.
That's a good box office haul. Well, it had some persistent marketing.
Lots of it.
And I thought, actually, it was decent marketing. I have yet to see the movie, but it looked good enough. Like it looked fine. I don't know.
People will see anything with Kevin Hart in it.
I think so.
Well, Kevin Hart and The Rock.
In certain combinations.
Jack Black. I mean,
I think throwing in Jack Black is a nice...
Attractive redhead.
Random attractive redhead. Mm-hmm. Apparently is the same chick that's in these the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Oh, yeah?
The blue-purple chick.
Okay, there you go.
Etchy had to tell me that last week.
Strangely attracted to
her. I was like, why is this blue chick, I don't know, weirdly purple?
Blurple.
What?
That's a Thanos stuff. Are you gonna see this movie?
No.
Yeah. Are you gonna see it? Are you gonna see it?
No.
Are you gonna see it?
I mean, maybe on HBO or something.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not gonna run out.
I mean, if it's on TNT or CBS or something
with commercials.
Yeah,
I'm fine with commercials.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I watch some Mucilex commercials between my Mucilex.
Yes. Mucinex.
It's a Mucinex.
There we go. Mixing the two.
What? One's a cereal.
Yeah, one's a cereal.
And one is a mucus. Medicine.
Yes. Now, if you mix the two.
Oh, no. No. Why did we?
Then what's the guy, the curly hair, the comedian, do the voice for the Mucinex glob?
TJ Miller?
Yeah, yes. That's it.
Ooh.
He does.
Not anymore.
Number one this week.
They Affleck'd him.
Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Oh, yes.
Weekend gross of $52.4 million, total of $517 domestic.
I might go see it again.
Yeah, I was thinking about maybe too, because I mean...
$517 domestic, $523 foreign, worldwide, $1.04 billion.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. This weekend, the final weekend of 2017, it surpasses Beauty and the Beast as the highest grossing film of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's
they did it in 3 weeks.
Awesome. Yeah, they did. What Beauty and the Beast made in its months long run, Star Wars made it in 3 weeks, and it still has a few more weeks to go.
A few more? This movie's going to make so much money.
I think
what this movie was missing? A giant monster. No giant monster in this.
Well, they had...
It's true. Because there was always something. There was the worm in the cave.
Right.
And then, like, episode one, they had the big giant fishes that was chasing them.
In episode one, yeah.
And then
yeah, yeah.
Then you were chopping in Jabba's palace, that big old thing with the teeth.
A New Hope. The New Hope have monsters. I guess Chewbacca. And they had the big old sand people vehicle. That was big. That's more of a vehicle thing. Yeah,
they had big vehicles. They had those weird AT-ATs, but it looks like they were knuckle draggers. Like, literally, like, it looks like they had hands and they were dragging their knuckles on the ground.
There were all the different species in the casino scene. Cantino, yeah. Brights, Bites, whatever that place is called.
Oh, that casino scene was dope.
Yeah, but it's like the type of thing where, man, I have to watch a scene over and over and, like, slow it down to see. There's so much going on.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just like in the original, like, in the Senate scenes where all the different, like, there's a band of ETs over there and a band of something else over there, like George Lucas put in.
A bunch of ETs in episode one.
Yeah.
I rewatched episode one last night, actually.
You gave it a rewatch?
Yeah, I did.
I'm going to give it.
We almost did, too.
He vetoed it. What did you come out on the rewatch?
It was awful.
Still awful.
Oh, yeah. So everything looks cartoony.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
because of all the digital stuff. Yeah.
It was like 99, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't that good, but that was the best of the best
at the time. Yeah.
So when you first watch it, you just accept it and for what it is. Mm. But when you rewatch it, it's, oh,
man.
God. And it's got the little kid from Christmas movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, that's a little kid, right? Yeah. I just noticed that last night when I was watching. I was like,
that's Darth Vader, bro.
That's Darth Vader.
Turbo Man.
Turbo.
Yeah, Turbo Man.
Yeah, I'm going to rewatch them. I'm going to rewatch the prequels and give them a reappraisal now, especially after we got these a handful of these Disney ones to see how they fit together. Are you going to go on and watch Attack of the Clones? Interesting. You got
that. I'm a big Star Wars guy.
So then you saw Last Jedi, and did you come out? A lot of people. It seems like a very divisive movie. A lot of people really don't like it for some reason.
It's so weird that it's so divisive.
I think it's strange.
I don't understand it because I absolutely 100% loved it.
Did you? Okay, give us a review. Give us a spoiler-free review.
I love that they brought back puppetry.
Yes.
And like makeup style characters. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do it without spoiling, but they've already shot Leia for the next movie.
Did they?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not really a spoiler in saying that she didn't die.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher died.
Everyone knows Carrie Fisher died. Yeah. I think if, at this point, if they had killed off Leia in the movie, it would be more well known that Carrie Fisher got some sort of send-off. The fact that her character doesn't get a send-off in Last Jedi... I think it's like everyone knows that. Okay, what are they going to do?
Yeah, I would have rather her died in this movie.
It would have made...
And they had the perfect point to do it.
Yeah, and then didn't. Yeah, that was so weird.
Yeah, that was a weird choice in the moment, I guess. Yeah,
I thought it was going to be really dark the way that they did it. Because, I mean, I can't say it. I can't spoil it. Yeah, that would spoil it.
Even though it made so much money, it's still only been a few weeks. I wonder how much of that money is people going back to see it again over and over.
That's a good question.
I only saw The Force Awakens one time in theaters. Did you go back and re-see it?
I haven't. I was wanting to do that last night, but it was not on demand. The rest of them were.
There you go.
We watched it, but we didn't listen to it.
Yeah, we rewatched it once, but with Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon playing.
Ooh, excellent.
And it works great.
Does it? Mm-hmm. Okay. It works with a lot of things.
Oddly. There's something about Dark Side of the Moon, I think. they found the key to the universe in that one. Maybe it's musically, what's it called? The Pythagorean theorem? No, not that. The Fibonacci sequence. Maybe it's the musical version of the Fibonacci sequence.
Which works to everything.
It's the perfect golden spiral of audible creation that then you place on top of anything. And then you find the magical golden ratio of your art through Dark Side of the Moon. This all makes perfect sense.
Do you know what a Super Audio CD is?
No. Super audio? No.
Yes. It's a CD mixed in 5.1 surround.
Okay.
And they did Pink Floyd's CD, Dark Side of the Moon, in surround sound. And it is the most phenomenal thing I've ever listened
to. That sounds awesome.
But then you got to sit down. So it's with like a 5.1 speaker system.
Exactly.
I've done the other thing where like the Flaming Lips put out that album. Was it?
It's five different CDs.
Five different CDs.
So you had to set up your own 5.1 with different boom boxes.
Yeah,
and it play together.
You're hitting three buttons on one hand, two on the other.
So one time we did it was in a apartment. And we
it was
had
a Bills.
It was at Bills.
We had one in every room.
We had some different rooms, and then you would walk around, and then you would hear like different parts of the album playing. It's all playing at the same time.
It was
like,
weird.
Yeah, it was. And if you sat in the middle, you could hear it all.
Okay,
it was odd.
Yeah, we had too much summer. At least it was the Flaming Lips. So. We did it with the big Limp Bizkit's $3 bill.
It was amazing.
It was worthy hour of our time. So Last Jedi, you like it, you would recommend people see it.
100%.
Get out there, right?
Especially if you liked like the original three Star Wars movies, New yeah. Hope, the Jedi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, all the stuff with Rey and Kylo was really cool.
I like that stuff. I thought it was really cool. Yeah, I enjoyed it all very much. I thought it was a good movie. I didn't see Force Awakens again in theaters. I have contemplated, will I go see Last Jedi again in the theater? I think I would.
No, I don't think so.
I think I would. Drew wouldn't?
No.
Drew wouldn't? Right. You would, though, Trey.
What?
See Last Jedi again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, there we go. There we go. So that's your box office top five. Let's get into the new movies coming up on DVD, home video, streaming this week. American Made, that Tom Cruise is flying drugs for the... he's flying... Guns for the government?
Guns for the government, drugs for the
drug lords. And then drugs for the drug lords. And then the government was like, oh, I guess we can get on this drug money stuff. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. No.
It was a pretty good movie.
Domhnall Gleeson was like, woo!
He's like, making money for the government. It was pretty good. Definitely the type of thing you would rent, I think. You know, as opposed to going to see in the theater, which we did go see.
But well, of course.
Anyway, it's good stuff. Battle of the Sexes, which I did not see, is the story of what's her name against what's his face doing thing.
The tennis stuff.
The tennis stuff. Billie Jean King versus Misogyny McDouchebag.
Misogyny McDouchebag,
whatever his name was. And he was an old man who had retired already, and he was like, men are better at everything. And they had a tennis match.
And it was a shtick anyway.
And it was all shtick. But no, yeah, I think he believed it. It was a shtick, but he believed it. It was weird. It was a different time, man.
It was.
You know, Puerto Ricans couldn't rent in Italian neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. They could be very openly misogynistic and be applauded and lauded and have t-shirts. I guess
so. What we're talking about yesterday?
You're talking about, yeah.
Right now?
Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed except
22 minutes ago.
22 minutes ago. Nothing's changed except we have podcasts. Battle of Sexes. Yeah. Emma Stone and what's his name?
Steve Carell.
Yeah. What's called in theaters?
Insidious. Colon. Yes! The Last Key.
The Last Key.
It should just be called Key Fingers.
Key Fingers. Have you seen these trailers?
It's just to do with key fingers.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And then he sticks it in the girl's throat.
He's got key fingers.
And then he unlocks it.
I don't want to see that. Sitting here, I'm trying to enjoy my eggies and my bakies, and you're showing me video of key fingers.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy looking. Like, why? Why? And then what is this, the fourth Insidious movie?
It's The Last Key. So where's the first one?
In the third Insidious movie.
Are you sure about that?
No idea. I only saw the first one.
Where do these keys even come from?
Well, one of them is about a nun.
Keychain.
And why is this one the last one?
This is one that opens the door.
The final door sheets the more Insidious movies. There. Unfortunately, it's all... Yeah.
What's in this closet? More Insidious movies!
No!
It's all the Conjuring universe, man. The Conjuring, the Insidious movies, all this stuff like fits together. Annabelle.
I don't care at all.
I think it all fits. Or is it two separate? It's all.
It's all in the same universe?
Yes. Like if you watch Annabelle, it goes the Conjuring universe because it's based on Robert the Doll and what's the Warrens who did the Amityville house, like all this real shit, and they are tying it all together, and it's all kind of like one universe.
It's
so,
about time they got smart and learned from the comic book game.
Things up. That's what they're doing with them. So then in the Insidious movies, there's like the nun character is like a ghost type thing, and then I think old Key Fingers here is another one, and I think that's where these
good
these
old movies, Key Fingers.
Good old fingers.
Make it as easy as possible for Halloween Horror Nights.
Yes,
at that point.
That's pretty much all. They're just making movies out of prospective Halloween Horror Nights characters.
Yeah, it's like they go to Halloween Horror Nights. What was your creative department have? Oh, Key Fingers. That's interesting.
Yeah, let's make a movie out.
All right, we'll take that. We'll take Key Fingers. You keep Dog Lips, and then and we'll come back next year for the next round of the characters. Anything else coming on theaters?
No.
All right. Well, then, Drew, we need our prescription for life.
Doctor, give you must be Doc Holliday.
pass the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Well, Chris, it is New Year's Eve, so I hope all of our idiot listeners out there stay safe on the most amateurish party night of the entire year.
Yes, amateurs.
People go out and they have no idea what they're doing, so watch out for the drunkies, watch out for the police, watch out. Just watch the fuck out. I mean, hell, don't even go out tonight if you don't have to.
Don't go out. Stay home. Watch out for the junkies. Don't go out ever.
There was a DUI checkpoint by my house, and I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, seriously? I've been stopped in one of those in years.
Yeah.
Man.
They're doing them bad in Claremont, so watch out.
Down the country. Well, they have Cogburn out. Thank you, Drew. We appreciate it. They have no other way to make money out there in the sticks, so they got to... They gotta squeeze the populace somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what they do. They gotta pay for those military vehicles somehow.
They
got for no reason.
Oh man, those things are so huge.
They're so gigantic. They're
so scary.
I saw a Maitland one the other day drive by.
Maitland's got one now.
Dude. Do they have a battering ram on it?
I didn't know Maitland had one.
It probably folds up.
Like I could,
it's a transformer.
I could see Eatonville having one because you know, obviously.
23 minutes ago.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, let's take a break. I have a song, the main theme song from The Shape of Water. The soundtrack is by Alexander Desplat. I think
water, you pronounced that wrong.
No, that's because it's Desplat.
I think you're putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
It goes Desplat. Like that, right? That's how you say
that's
it.
That's so awful.
How do you say it then?
I have no idea, but it's splat, not like
splat,
that.
Splat, 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 splat. Alexander, splat, splat.
There we go.
There you go.
You should record that and send it to him.
Just record it. It's a podcast. See,
you should send it to him.
Oh, okay.
And just cut it out.
I'll send him a copy of this.
And then that way, every time he's on TV, it can go Alexander, splat, splat, splat,
splat, DJ, the splat.
We'll be right back.
little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize, a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired. You get the picture? You laughing now? You got leads. Mitch and Murray paid good money. Get their names to sell them. You can't close the leads you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out. The leads are weak. The leads are weak. Fucking leads are weak. You're weak. I've been in this business 15 years.
What's your name?
Fuck you. That's my name. You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Hey, my button's on here. I didn't even realize that. It picked it up automatically.
This guy has no idea what he's doing.
The sky is blue.
Hey, the sky is blue. Is that what you said? The sky?
I said this guy.
You said this guy doesn't know what it's doing.
This guy.
Is that an attack on God? Is that your atheism coming through?
Probably.
Yelling at
subconsciously.
He's yelling at the sky.
No, totally consciously.
Totally consciously. Be consciously, unconsciously yelling at the sky. Mm-hmm. Subconsciously. Unconsciously? Subconsciously. Guys, welcome to episode 216 of Cinema Crespedis.
So subconscious.
I am with Juicy Cogburn.
What up, dude?
How's it going, Drew? How you doing, Drew?
Doing.
Good stuff, Drew. And Trey Siwick?
Siwick.
I blew it. You suck at this, Chris. How many episodes? 260.
No, 260.
Those boos are for me, right?
No, they're for me.
Oh.
For blowing the Siwick.
I was the heel.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck your ass!
Like, why are you using the American flag as toilet paper? That's so mean, Trey. Don't you know our Memphis faithful doesn't appreciate that? You ever watch any of that old school wrestling, that 70s wrestling? Yeah. Back when they thought it was real, man. Mm-hmm. And the people in the crowd would get so angry.
That's crazy.
It was wild. Giving them corners. And they were all like eating fried food and unhealthy. And then they were all red in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Man. It was a better time. It was definitely a better time when the Puerto Ricans couldn't rent in Italian neighborhoods.
Yes. And 42 minutes ago?
42 minutes ago.
And living legend Larry Zbyszko was actually a living legend.
He was living. Oh, so many of those legends are dead. They're now dead legends.
Dead living legends?
Bobby Brain Heenan passed away this year. This is the part of the show where we mourn all the dead people of 2017. You have a couple hours? I was watching CBS this morning, Sunday morning, whatever they call it, and they did their memoriam segment, mm-hmm. and it took them like 40 minutes to get through.
A lot of people died.
Yeah, but it's like a lot of people die, but then people that you forget die, and then it's people that you didn't even know that died. Yeah. So it's like, oh, the guy that invented the telescope lens died.
Good for him.
It's like, well, that shit, they got invented the telescope lens. It's wild.
You know what? He lived a long time because they had telescopes forever.
Like a recent one that we use more specific ones. The guy who invented the rainbow flag logo symbol. I think that guy died. They just threw that one in there real quick.
Yeah, because for the first time ever in human history, some people put those colors together on one item.
Meant to be as a symbol of gay pride and unity.
The sky's been doing it for years.
The sky has been. The sky is eons. Very gay friendly. The sky has been showing that gay pride.
Forever.
Yeah, forever. So what's up, sky? But then it goes away when he brings it out, when he feels it's... A lot of people died. So this is the part where we mourn all those who are dead, but then we cheer on all who were also born. Why isn't there? How come we don't do an opposite in memoriam where we also mourn them too?
Because they're just bringing us closer to
mourn the boys
and what they're going to do in the future.
So first we do your old people that have died. Uh-huh. And then you're all the babies that have been born throughout the year, and then hopefully, no, this one maybe might be an actor.
Little Tommy Davidson, he's going to be an architect.
Yes, exactly. Or a monster. We don't.
He's going to be the next serial killer.
His possibilities are. He has so many roads he can go down. We'll find out. And
why can't you be both?
I'm just saying we need to celebrate life as well. Maybe.
No.
All right, so 2017, you were hot garbage. Get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. All right, I think we can all agree on that. We thought 2016.
2017, was bad. We made DMX great again. I don't know if you know this.
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
Did we, though?
He finished strong.
Or did he do it on his own?
I did it with my mind in the beginning of 2017. I made the claim that we're going to make DMX great again.
Did you ever see the movie The Night Before?
Night Before Christmas.
That's where it comes from. It's the Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Seth Rogen, Anthony Mackie.
I don't think so.
DMX is in it.
Yes, he is.
Where does only one of them get thrown in jail?
He's a little cracky.
Yeah, I think so.
He's a little cracky. Well, his cameo is him. He's in jail. He's in lockup, and then he's singing. Is he singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in that?
Oh, is that where it came from?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
What?
Had a very shiny nose.
You heard that, right?
Yeah. That's where it came from.
Oh, yeah. We played it like seven times.
They played it so many times, and the remix came out where they added the music. They kept playing that over. These guys love DMX on their show.
Mm-hmm. We made him great again.
That's why he's taking the credit. I'm saying he was in that movie. That movie made him great again.
Okay.
Crack cocaine made him great again.
No.
Yeah. That took him out again. Wasn't Michael Shannon like some weird angel in that
Michael
one?
Shannon was a weed-dealing angel.
Yes, the weed-dealing angel.
Yeah.
Fucking
where he's like, my work is done here. And then he
flies away at the end.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen this movie, you really should.
It's a fun movie.
You know what? I'll watch it.
Night Before. Look, just because Christmas was a week ago doesn't mean you can't watch it now. It's good stuff. It's still Three Kings Day. El día de tres reyes. Por favor, mira. Escúchame. Dulce Cagüen. Dulce. Yo soy.
Did you say Trace Mayonnaise?
Yeah, Trace Mayonnaise, man. It's my favorite type of cake.
Three different types of mayonnaise.
Real Midwestie. I soak my pound cake in Duke's. Hellman's. And
Fuck Craft, Blue Label.
Blue Label, there you go. Those are my three mayonnaise cakes.
Mm-hmm.
You let it soak overnight.
Trace mayonnaise.
We put the mayonnaise cake over here, don't you know?
Don't you know? We put it out in the sun. We let it bake overnight in the sun.
Oh, no, never put your mayonnaise in the sun.
Overnight in the sun.
Yeah. Well, it wakes up with the sun. The mayonnaise, it comes to life as the sun rises.
It does come to life. You are.
And then here comes the sun, and then the mayonnaise is like, it's warm.
The bluebirds are buzzing around it, and that's how you know it's ready.
Flies.
No, it's bluebirds. When the bluebirds are there, the mayonnaise cake is ready. When the flies show up, then it's overcooked.
Okay.
Yeah, so you have a window. You got a small window to get that Trace mayonnaise cake.
I'm glad we got the logistics of this fake cake.
It's like, fake cake, how dare you, sir? How dare you? Didn't you know that's our snack of the week? Well, I was debuting snack of the week with you. I was going to send Drew into the kitchen to go get the Trace mayonnaise cake out of the fridge. Fine, you don't want it? More mayonnaise cake for me. That's fine. If this episode wasn't going to be called the Crespo Hundo, I would have called it Tris Mayonnaise King.
Fact.
But that might be a little too disgusting for people to even... All right, guys, let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419 all over the internet.
Damn straight. Tweet him your favorite mayonnaise gifs, ladies
and gentlemen.
And you
know what? I mean, I thought about this last time, but I'm not really all over the internet anymore. There's so many other, like, strange social media sites and this, that, the other that I just don't know or anything about. I am very few places on the internet,
There's one called Raya? Raya, I think? It's got a weird name.
What Ryu.
Ryu?
Hadouken!
No. Oh, not that one. Damn it. That's the dating site for a Street Fighter aficionados.
Yes.
No, it's called, like, something called a really short name. I think it begins with an R, and it's a dating site for celebrities. It's like Tinder or Bumble, but for celebs. Or Match.com, maybe, but for
Rumble.
Celebs.
Rumble.
No, it's a really short name.
Weird.
So you're not on that one?
No.
I mean, you're a celebrity.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you're just a guy. Man. People know you're just a guy. You're just a guy, bro. So you're not everywhere on the internet.
I have very few places on the internet.
You are where you're available on the internet at Antihero
419. Where I am available.
Where you are available.
He's on the nationwide web, not the world.
I'm on like the countywide web.
Countywide web. I'm on that local web. I'm on just this block alone. Mm-hmm. Trey, where can people find you? Where do you want people to seek you out online?
All right, everywhere at Trey SJS, mm-hmm. and on Snapchat is at TheTSwizz. You can hear me on the Swervy Jones Show. That's SwervyJones.com.
Swervy Jones, who?
Yeah,
Swervy Jones. Swerve Jones, who? Swerve Shit. Jones.
Swerve Jones, who?
Every time I hear that, I just want to keep going over and over. Just why does it stop? Why does it stop?
Mm-hmm.
It
should, I almost looped it 150 times.
You should do one, sneak it in on Swervy, where he's not expecting it. Throw in a looped one where it just keeps going, Swerve Jones, who? Swerve Jones, who?
Yeah, just real long.
Real long until he says something. And then like, it's going to end in a second. Swerve, and he tells it off like 5 minutes.
That's, no, a good, that's a good bit, but he will definitely listen to this before then.
Oh, damn it. You ruined it, Chris.
There'll just be a long beep over this whole part.
he listens to every show that I do, that you do, part of us, just so he can make sure I'm not talking
that
shit
about it. That you don't talk shit about Swervy. All right, Swervy, we are officially not talking shit about it. You can stop listening now.
And start talking shit, guys.
No, start talking shit. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That
shit.
Fucking Swervy. Oh, my God. That's
so that guy.
Who does he think he is throwing parties and getting hammered drunk at him?
Pretty sure that's the way it's supposed to work. Right?
But you got the drunkest at his own party.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the drunkest.
The drunkest.
Now, you can get drunk at your own party, but you can't be the drunk guy at your own party.
Unfortunately, I couldn't make it to the sort of Jones Christmas event.
You totally could have.
Anti-fact from Anti-Hero.
Yeah.
Fake news.
I couldn't make it to the Christmas party this year, but I did see how, he was leaning over and not looking good.
Got that lean going.
Yeah.
He wasn't on that lean. But he had that lean going.
Okay. Yeah.
But he wasn't. Was he on that lean?
I don't think so.
Swervy, were you on that lean?
He didn't eat food.
Ooh. You gotta have a base layer.
Well, he thought he had a base layer with the fried chickens. And then that was at like 2 o'clock. No. And then right around 9 o'clock, roll around. And,
that's way too late.
Yeah.
Man, he should have re-upped on that base layer about 6.
Should have walked in there with a layer of guacamole in your belly. Ready to soak all that up.
Wait, what?
Guacamole don't soak up shit!
What the fuck does that even mean?
I think the avocado milkshake went to his head.
The avocado milkshake. Oh, you gotta listen to the tidbits to still find out about the avocado and jackfruit milkshakes. Okay, man. Juicy Kyren versus the world. You know what, Drew? I did the math. For 2013-14, what's 1, 2, 3, goddamn, 5 years worth of Juicy Kyren versus the Worlds is, you have a record total of 86 wins, 51 losses.
And I believe we're officially tied up.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Exciting. But this is also your first official 1-to-1 head-to-head, though.
That's
exciting. All right, here we go, guys. So we are playing a whole new year, kicking off a whole new record. Drew, you are officially 0-0.
It's going to be bad.
But this is still last year.
But it counts towards next year. It's a first.
What?
Because
wait, are you releasing it today or tomorrow?
Look, I'm releasing it this evening, but like over 90% of the people listening to it will hear it next year.
You better release it 12:01.
What?
You best.
3:01 Eastern Standard Time, so then it's midnight on the West Coast, right? Yeah, right. No, I put it out as soon as I want, motherfuckers. That's why I do.
Depends on who your hosting is. Ours starts over at 8 p.m.
Ah, there you go. What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Lipson's weird. Mm-hmm. Fucking Lipson. Guys, this week's game is called John. I'm going to tell you the name of the movie. You tell me if this movie features John Candy, John Goodman, or John Cusack.
So all I have to do is say John.
Goodman, Candy,
ow.
Careful. Cusack.
Okay.
I had to get my thinker out.
Yeah, you're in your think pose.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Drew, you get to go first. Two groups of five, A or B. What do you want?
A.
Hey, here you go, Drew. John Candy, John Goodman, John Cusack. Number one, King Ralph.
Goodman.
Correct. Number two, Better Off Dead.
Cusack?
Correct. Number three, Blues Brothers, 2000.
Goodman.
Correct. Number four, Home Alone.
John Candy.
Correct. Number five, Bringing Out the Dead.
You got a hard list, buddy. This is late.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Goodman?
Goodman is correct.
Was he the coroner?
He was, I think it was one of the ambulance drivers.
Oh, okay.
The coroner. Can't remember, but he had 5 out of 5.
God damn. All right. Way to set the bar.
High as fuck. Seriously, way to start 2018. All right, here we go, Trey.
Yeah, it's way to start high as fuck, man.
You know the game. Here we go. Number one, Uncle Buck.
No, can't.
All right, number two. Why can't everyone hand ready? Arachnophobia.
Candy.
Ooh, Goodman. Goodman. He's the exterminator. So number three, the Blues Brothers.
Didn't you win that on the...
He did Blues Brothers 2000. The Blues Brothers.
The Blues Brothers. Candy.
Correct. Number four, Runaway Jury.
Runaway Jury, don't even know that movie. Cusack.
Correct. Good.
That's
guess.
How you do it.
Yeah. I hate John.
I don't do that movie, John Cusack.
And finally, number five, Fat Man and Little Boy.
Candy?
Cusack!
That was about the atomic bombs.
Was he the little boy?
He must have been the little boy.
Yeah. No, it's definitely not.
It's a war movie about dropping the atomic bombs.
Yeah, it's a Manhattan Project movie. The Manhattan Project. Paul Newman is in it. And John Cusack. So there you go, Drew. Well done. 1-0 to start the year.
All right.
Well played, Trey. Good game there, buddy. All right, let's get into the show here. Let's start the show. Well, actually, no, we got to finish the report.
$4.95 if you want some extra content, which we're starting this year. We just recorded Cooking Up Comedy, which is a show with me and Travis Chassin.
Nice.
And we're going to be doing Black Eyed Peas. Ooh, two ways.
Perfect. So. Perfect nice. For the new year. That's how you do it. Excellent. So you'll have to be a $4.95 member to get that show?
You can hear the audio just for free. But to get the video portion, you have to be a member.
Oh, okay. But the $4.95 member?
Yes.
I don't have to open my goddamn membership.
That's the point.
That's how they get you, Chris.
I got that lower level one.
You're cool. Careful that higher level.
You know what? Come on up to the penthouse. It's nice up here.
Be cool, bro. I'm going to hook a brother up with a membership.
How do you with that code?
Yeah, and people go back and check out the epic crossover event from July of this year. I checked. It was released 4th of July. I don't know if that was on purpose or what, but 4th of July, you can listen to the Crespo Jones Show bonus episode on the Cinema Crespediso feed, and then on the Sorby Jones feed as a member show.
Yeah.
If you're a member for the $2.95 membership at least, you can go back and listen to the second half of our epic crossover, in which Drew made a very quick appearance in the beginning.
And then gone!
And then disappeared to be sick for
a while. Flew away into a cloud of puke.
Yes. It was fantastic. Go! Woo! And I'm out. Peace.
Like, woo, 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 woo.
All I hear is Sprite.
Yeah.
7-Up.
Oh, this poor guy. Yeah, listen to that stuff. It was good times. We had a lot of fun. So there you go. And then Cinema Crespediso on Instagram, Crespediso on Twitter, and then join our Facebook group, Cinema Crespediso, where we're joking around in there. Lots of jocularities and good times. PFTmedia.com. Check out all the sweet shows we have going on at PFT Media. There you go.
PFT Media.
Yeah. Hey, did I hit my drop by accident? What was that? All right, it's new movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about
navigating
the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right. We're going to talk about them celebrity divorces. Did you know Ben Affleck split his Christmas with Jennifer Garner and his new girlfriend? Ooh. But first, we got to do a Justin Bieber update. Trey, what's up with the Biebs?
He's fucking Selena Gomez again.
Yeah! All right.
I knew he could do it.
Good job, Justin. Just had to wait for that lupus to come around and knock her down a peg or two.
He's ruthless. He really is.
Well, she got a new kidney. It's all good.
Yeah.
A friend of hers hooked her up.
It's the loop of life.
Yeah, she's
the lupus of life.
Oh, my God. Ah, good times. Where's the hell is my goddamn movie news email? I got a whole bunch of stories. First off, even though this is kind of last week's story, this week in rape culture, something really funny happened.
This week in rape culture.
Yeah.
This week in rape culture. Rape.
Harvey Weinstein reached out to Netflix like weeks before the New York Times article came out that he knew was coming. And he asked for $25 million and didn't explain why. He just said he needed a $25 million lifeline, a loan from Netflix. Apparently, Netflix was the only one he went around to. He went around to other people, other producers, other companies, and asked for lifeline money. Is conjectured that this money was to be used as hush money of some sort to try to shut people up to stop this thing from happening, but it happened anyway. He's a monster.
No.
Imagine that. Imagine going on Netflix and like, hey, can you give me some of that hush money? You guys, I got that hush money laying around.
I need some money to hush some people.
It's like, hey, listen, my career is about to be destroyed due to my horrible actions. Can you help me out here? Give me $25 million.
Thanks. Well, it just gets. As soon as like the open source is there,
yeah,
there's so much more underneath.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, it's a festering wound. When you start peeling it back,
damn it!
It got gross really fast. Mm. Oh man, it's been a fun year for uncovering rape culture and bro culture and bringing all these dudes down. And I hope 2018 brings more of it. Probably the best thing about 2017 was the some of that fighting back. To the toxic culture we got.
Maybe
going
don't
on.
Take your dick out until their clothes are off.
Maybe be cool. Maybe be cool.
Yeah.
God damn. And then also another aspect of bro culture, rape culture, isn't just the people perpetrating the acts. It's incredible how many times I guess these. And it's always dudes. Almost always dudes. Women do it too, but it's almost always dudes. And I know they're well-meaning and they're trying to get justice or whatever. Probably what they're doing is putting themselves in the shoes of the accused. They're all like, well, he only did it like one time. Or John Lasseter just said, it was only hugs, man. We're going to fire someone over hugs. It's like a lot of people bending over backwards to defend the reputation of all these guys that they've never met. They don't know.
No, yeah. But they have a lot of money and they know the names. So they think they know the person.
They know their name. Well, they know their art, maybe. They know their music or their movies or something. So like they feel they have to defend them. Like, fuck these dudes. You know, I don't know. And I don't know why you got to defend them. It's just weird.
My thing is protesting the art after the fact. If you enjoy the art the first time around, and I understand. Just enjoy it. Don't associate it with the darkness on the other side.
But it's hard, though, sometimes, though. Yeah. If I'm watching, like, Seven, and then Kevin Spacey shows up, and he starts talking about, like, all these people that are sick, and they're doing all these things. I'm like, man, you're sick. I don't know. It depends on the movie and the role and the actor. And some things, just got to take it on a case-by-case basis. Kumail Nanjiani made The Big Sick this year. Very successful rom-com. It's on a lot of people's like best of 2017 lists now that we're at the end of the year. He tweeted on Christmas Eve at Kumail N. For those of you who want to watch The Big Sick with your families and don't have Amazon Prime or can't afford to purchase it, the whole movie is available on Pornhub. Don't ask me how I know. It's under racial. This is under interracial. This is not a joke.
Really?
So,
you posted it there, didn't you, buddy?
He didn't post it, but he found it.
Nah. Yeah, he probably found it.
He found it. And he put it out there. And then at Pornhub responded, Kumail, we are trying to find it to remove with no luck. The whole Pornhub team is frantically looking through Big Sick videos on Christmas Day. Kumail responds, oh no, oh no, I didn't mean it should be removed. Enjoy your Christmas. You've brought joy to so many people. You deserve this break. So, Kumail and Pornhub are communicating with each other about
don't
uploading of
it.
The Big Sick on Pornhub.
Don't remove it.
I mean, aren't you going to be on Pornhub on Christmas anyways?
but if you're looking up...
Just look for some stuff.
I guarantee if you look up The Big Sick on Pornhub, you're going to find some very awful things.
Exactly. Don't look Big Sick. Don't,
oh, I like how I said ew and turned away and looked back. And there's titties!
Right there.
Don't ew the titties. They're very sensitive.
They are. I stop ewing when I see them.
You're like,
I remember what life's about.
Also, I think The Big Sick has since been removed from Pornhub, so you can't watch it. Watch Big Sick with animated like sex ads going on in the corner in loop form. You know what I'm talking about? You guys know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like you don't know.
Try not to come.
You guys are looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Zootopia is still on Pornhub, though.
Really?
Nice. As well as Back to the Future. So if you're looking up animal bestiality porn, I guess, or MILF porn.
Incest porn.
There we go. Back to the Future.
Time travel porn.
Yeah, so it's a bunch of bros who go back in time and then fuck like a bunch of milkmaids in the 19th century.
Century milkmaids.
Mm-hmm. Let me show you the 20th century pile driver.
Oh, here's a question I posed the other day. If they were going to remake Back to the Future, mm-hmm. who would you want to play Marty and Doc?
Margaret Cho as Doc Brown.
Okay.
And who could play Marty? I would go with a Muppet. I would like create a Muppet of some sort. So it's Margaret Cho and a puppet.
Okay.
But then everything else is exactly the same.
Okay.
So it's the humans and the 1950s and yeah. How about you, Drew?
Doc Brown, Christopher Walken.
Okay. Yeah, that was mine. Yeah.
He's kind of a frail guy now. But.
Marty McFly, Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth? Okay. Big beefy Marty McFly.
But dumb Chris Hemsworth.
Dumb Chris Hemsworth.
I'm talking like, we're talking like somewhere in between Thor and Ghostbusters.
Can he still be Australian? Can he use his Australian accent?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Hey, a movie for Australian Santa. I can follow watch Back to the Future. I can imagine myself in the lead role because he's Australian. I'm Australian.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Australian Santa. What's wrong with you? You're supposed to be preparing for next year's Santa Christmas.
Whole different Back to the Future. This one's a lot darker.
That is a completely different.
It's a lot darker.
Completely different Back to the Future. How about you? So you said Christopher Walken?
Yeah, definitely Christopher Walken.
Oh, Christopher Walken would be a great Doc Brown.
Who's your Marty?
What's his face that's getting ready to play?
Danny Glover.
No. Donald Glover.
Donald Glover.
Yeah, that's what it was.
There we go.
Yeah, Donald Glover.
I like that, actually.
That works.
Yeah. Man, he's like...
Imagine going back in time, though, and being black. Oh, like, they can tackle that issue.
That'd be rough.
Directed by Jordan Peele.
Yeah, time travel is there not good for black
back
people.
To the Future, directed by Jordan Peele. There
all black people.
With all black people.
No, Christopher Walken.
A black party, a black man, right. Donald Glover is one.
That could be hilariously funny.
Dog, they don't like me. Going
I mean, he's already skateboarding, right?
Yeah, he's already a skateboarding punk.
Yeah.
Skipping that story. Yeah,
I want to see the Margaret Cho one, though.
Those stories. Like, yeah, Margaret Cho should be good, right?
Yeah. And a Muppet. I love the Muppets.
Margaret Cho is awesome. She was in that movie. She's in that movie, Bright.
And Kermit the Frog.
And Kermit the Frog's in Bright also. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's very weird. All right.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous...
Vox Populi.
That's right. You tell us what you see, and then we read it on the show. Drew, take it over.
We got an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
He's got reviews of Darkest Hour and Downsizing.
Darkest Hour and Downsizing.
We're going to start with Darkest Hour.
We're going to start with Darkest Hour.
Gary Oldman and the makeup is truly exceptional.
Yes, it is.
Throughout this film, all you ever see and hear is Winston Churchill. Wait, I take that back. The only times you ever get reminded that it really is Oldman underneath all of this, as if you happen to focus on a character's eyes.
Yeah,
it truly is the only part of Oldman that his performance and the makeup couldn't hide. But that's not a knock. Oldman becomes Churchill. It's astounding, Oscar-worthy, both Oldman and the makeup artists.
There you go. Have you seen any of the marketing for this one?
What is it?
It's called Darkest Hour.
It's Gary Oldman in a fat suit.
It's Gary Oldman in a fat suit playing Winston Churchill.
No.
And it's amazing.
It's actually really good.
Wasn't Winston... Didn't Netflix come out with a show?
The Crown.
Yeah.
And, apparently John Lithgow is goddamn Churchill.
Oh, really?
Which makes me want to see it.
Yeah.
I watched a few episodes. His performance as Winston Churchill was pretty good.
Yeah. Man, I want to check that out.
That said, the history is history and the famous speeches are famous. Mm-hmm. So if you've studied history at all, nothing about this story here will surprise you.
Right.
The movie doesn't unlock any secret insights into Churchill, and for a biopic, it focuses on one brief period of time, not Churchill's whole life,
right.
Hence the movie's title.
Yeah, it's a very, very specific time when he becomes Prime Minister, and it's actually everything leading up to the Dunkirk rescue mission. So you could actually watch Darkest Hour and then watch Dunkirk.
I will say, Nolan's Dunkirk makes for a great companion piece to this film, but to the point... Much of the plot in Darkest Hour centers around the Dunkirk rescue operation, though obviously from Churchill's perspective, I think a Dunkirk Darkest Hour double feature is the optimal way to see both films, there because, well, Dunkirk is fucking Dunkirk, awesome, and the Darkest Hour benefits from that visceral, boots-on-the-ground experience to go along with Churchill's.
Yep, yep.
A must-watch for the performance, but the rest is what we know it is. 3 stars.
There you go. 3. Yeah, that sounds about right. I'll give it that. It's like a great movie to rent.
Out of 5. 3 out of 5.
3 yeah. out of 5. You would see it... you'll see it pop up when the Oscars come around and Gary Oldman gets inevitably nominated for Best Actor for Winston Churchill. Never and won. Probably won't win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Downsizing next.
All right, Downsizing. Tiny Matt Damon movie. Here we go.
Ugh.
Oh, that's not good.
This should have been fun. Our concept alone, this should have been witty and satirical, maybe a bit scathing and ultimately delightful. But Downsizing is none of those things. Instead, it's self-indulgent, it takes way too heavy turn, and maybe, just maybe, is a bit racist? I say racist only because there's a Vietnamese character, best part of the movie by far, by the way, and the way she spoke throughout the movie garnered far too many laughs, at least in my theater. Hmm. Sure, some of the lines she had were intended as jokes, but damn if every single line she said elicited racist LOLs. They were laughing at what she said. They were laughing at how she was saying it. I don't know the actress, but the affected, I think, speech pattern to her dialogue and the response it roused from the audience, it made me feel icky.
They were RORing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Raff out
round. Yeah, raff out round. Uh-huh. ROR. Raff out round.
No, I don't want to rate the app. I just want to. So then I could give him one of these things. Where'd it go? I'll edit it and push them together.
No, you won't.
I know Matt Damon is an environmentalist, and good for him, but this film takes a Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet approach to making its point about mankind's ill influence on the planet.
It could have been so much fun. We could have had Honey, I Shrunk the Kids moments. Look at that Cheerio. It's so big.
You want to eat the Oreo? Oh, my God.
And so the ending, oh, my FNG. It's one of the stupidest endings I've ever seen. I'll try not to be spoilery. Feel free to edit if you see, but here it goes.
Wait. All right, everyone, you have 5 seconds. If you don't want to know the ending of Downsizing, to skip forward.
Toward the end, Matt Damon's character is fully committed to saving humanity. And I mean fully committed. But the hiking, though. Fuck it, I don't care if it's a spoiler because no one should see this movie. It's a slog, and it's stupid, and sometimes it's uncomfortable and not in a good way. 1.5 stars. Take care, guys, and happy 1. New 5. Year 1. To 5. Everyone.
That's brutal. What was the spoiler? He wanted to save the world?
Fully committed.
Fully committed to save the world? That's a spoiler.
That's not a
spoiler. Okay. Thanks a lot, Scott. I appreciate it. It's telling everyone not to see Downsizing, but it sounds so bad. I want to see it. Mm-hmm. And vaguely racist. I love stuff that's vaguely racist so I can be mad at it. How else can I be mad at stuff if I don't see it? Right?
Yeah.
How am I going to raff out Ralph?
Yes, exactly. Just because they don't have R's in their language. Or L's, were they missing?
No, they had the two switched. L's or R's, R's or L's.
L's or R's, R's or mm-hmm. Or do we have it switched? We have it switched. Mm-hmm. We're the ones who are fucking up. Right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
What else we got?
We got an email from Ron.
What's up, Ron? Big gay Ron.
So, dudes of my fantasy. This year ends with a whimper or a bang or just the same everything and nothing. Really, I want to know. But here, what I do know, seeing movies with 10-year-olds and younger is insanity. Because, as we saw Jumanji, the 3-year-old had to go potty twice, and it were both false alarms. I sure the mighty, mean, and malleable Drucifer would not stand for it.
Malleable?
But I did, and it did not stop me from enjoying the Hart-Johnson chemistry. This movie was fun and engaging, just like the inside of the game. Help the player ready for the outside, with the video game avatar helping the inner strengths to be highlighted. It's a fun movie. I hope a new generation appreciates it, since Jack Black kills it with his penis jokes. And
what? Jack Black penis jokes.
Mm-hmm. And Gilliam is super hot.
That's a chick.
Okay. Also saw The Shape of Water.
Oh, Shape of Water, nice.
Now, if you don't know, this magnificent film almost tore my house apart. I would like to think...
Oh, yeah. I saw this. He put it on Facebook. He almost broke up with his boyfriend. He thought about breaking up with his boyfriend because his boyfriend didn't like it.
I would like to think it's so to fish butt, but who to say when it comes to the other party doesn't speak about it. Anyway, the film was wonderful. Again, no liking white males of America after this. Not sure if it's due to the pie shop or the candy eater, but it just comes off that way. Who was your favorite side character? Was the ending a cop-out? I kind of think so, but I still liked it. Also, my headcanon is Hellboy's... Abe is their... Oh.
Abe. Sabian?
Also, in my head, the canon is Hellboy's Abe is their child. Much love, no homo, Ron E.
Thomas. Oh. No homo. No homo.
I'm going to see Ron in March.
Are you really?
Yeah, nice. I'm going out to L.A.
All the homos, Ron. No homo. All homo, yeah. Buddy. We love Ron. Ron is great.
Mm-hmm.
Are you heading out to L.A. for like for how long?
4 days and then Vegas for two. So.
Ooh, nice. And Vegas. Oh, that's very cool. Anything in particular taking you out there or... You're just going.
I'll probably do a walk thing. Yeah,
no, I mean, like, are you going for a reason or just a vacation?
Oh, my buddy Max lives out there.
Yeah.
He was the best man at my wedding.
There you go.
He's only been living out there for 7 years, and I have not made it out there yet. So
figure what the fuck?
Yeah,
might as well. That is awesome. Oh, very cool. Yeah, and then you got to hang out with Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, a little Swervy Jones meetup with
Ron. I think so.
Ron and Trey. Awesome. Well, we appreciate it, Ron, and I understand how you almost broke up with your Bulgarian boyfriend over Shape of Water, but I'm glad that you guys did it and you mended
it. Worked it out.
Mended those fences and you worked it out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Are we happy about that?
If Ron's happy, we're happy.
Ron, if you're happy, then we're happy, Ron. That's all we care about, buddy. Is that it for the Vox Populi?
Yep.
All right. Well, then that means it's time for our homie Billy D's Death. Death of the movie.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again.
Speaking heavy. Of Back to the Future.
Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational
pull? Why are everything so heavy in the future?
Why? Why, Marty?
Why?
Ow! You're metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, here we go. Time for Billy D's Death of the Movies. That's right. True, why was why'd you do that for?
Because I'm an asshole.
With the crazy voices.
Because I'm a weirdo.
I'm just trying to do a show here, man. You're doing crazy stuff.
I just like pressing buttons.
Why are you pressing all the buttons for,
I
man?
Like pressing buttons.
Guys.
Button. Who's got the button?
Trey, please get off the table. So excited over
it's
here.
So weird.
This is a crazy show. Billy D says the movie sets us up every week. He's our New York City horror film aficionado, senior correspondent, the creator of Billy D's Postmortem, which should be coming back around soon on PFTV to wrap up the final few episodes. But he hits us up every week. Drew reads the email. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
I watched a little bit of the new Black Mirror season last night.
Ah, felicidades.
It's pretty good so far, but something about these new Netflix series makes me think the show has lost its teeth a little.
Aww.
It just doesn't fill me with as much existential dread as the first two series.
Interesting.
Maybe I'm not far enough into it, but the first two episodes left me wanting something more. I also attended the last three Dillinger Escape Plan concerts at Terminal 5. They did not disappoint. My face has been thoroughly melted and my skull sufficiently crushed. I hope enough to last me a lifetime.
Oh my.
Or until Greg and Ben decide to do a reunion tour.
Nah, don't do it, guys. Don't do it.
I got to see them perform Irony is Dead.
Irony is a dead scene.
A dead scene front to back with Mike Patton.
That's awesome.
Dimitri came back to do a bunch of songs.
What, Dimitri?
Even Brian and Adam showed up and did some guitar and electric work. They brought out a fucking string quartet to close their career.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to miss you, Dillinger.
Man, Dillinger Escape Plan, one of our mutual favorite bands, Billy D, being in New York City, gets to see their final three shows. That's very cool.
Now the morning begins. Good thing I have enough black in my wardrobe. Stay cool, Billy D.
Thanks, Billy. We appreciate it, dude. Hit him up all over the interwebs at I Love Blood. Mm-hmm. You ever hear the band the Dillinger Escape Plan?
I have not.
You have not.
Pretty fucking crazy.
Pretty crazy band. Here, real quick, let me see if I can show you, give you an example.
They,
of what these guys sound like.
Last time I saw them at the social, they were specifically told not to blow fire because it's a very small venue, and go figure.
They blew them fires.
They did.
They blew them fireballs,
they blew
yo.
Fire.
All right, let me see here. Oh, it comes right
here. No, just get back. Come on. I almost burned down my kitchen.
Which one are you going to play?
I'm going to play a classic.
Okay.
I'm going to play this song right here. This is from 1999. But they do stuff like this. It's all like...
Very technical.
It's very technical, very chopped up.
And then this is much more recent.
Things change.
This is from... goddamn, 2010. Jesus Christ.
It was 8 years ago.
I know. Recent. I know. I thought it was recent. All right, here's recent.
I can spin this all day.
I think it's fun music.
Yeah.
I enjoy the hell out of this. It's all very, very metal, very crazy. This is their most recent album.
Came out last year.
This is 2016. And it's the brainchild of the guitarist, really.
Yep.
Does anybody else, like, listen to this music and they're just, like, mellowed out? Because When I listen to this kind of stuff, yeah. I just mellows me out.
I listen to it to go to bed. I'll fall asleep to it. I've been since high school. I've been falling asleep.
I brush my teeth to this shit.
Yeah, it keeps my teeth white. Man, it chills me out. I like it. It's good stuff. And they'll just keep on. They put on a wild show. A lot of like moving around and jumping and fire and thrashing. The guitarist,
blinking lights. I hope you
a lot of
have...
blinking lights. Oh, man. Yeah. The guitarist a few years ago, he tore his rotator cuff on tour from like swinging his arms around so much. So they put on legendary wild shows, but they also, they've been popular, you know, very popular. Mm-hmm. They played House of Blues and stuff like that, but it's not like they've been able to retire on this. They've had to find other ways to supplement their income, and they figured now at the age of 40, collectively, like most of them are in their 40s, and they're like, we don't want to keep
touring.
We don't want to keep touring in a van. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't get big enough to afford to get the multiple tour buses and to travel in real luxury. Like, we still have to rough it a lot, and we're tired of doing it because we're old men. Mm-hmm. And it's also, this music, that's a young man's game. To sustain that kind of energy and anger.
Yeah, that's for your 20s.
It's for the young men. So they retired at the age of 40. They retire in the band, and while Billy says that he hopes maybe down the road they may reunite, I hope they do not. Do not become those old men.
Yeah, seriously. Don't be old rockers.
Yes, have some integrity for
72 Friday. And you're singing, come hear the noise.
Come hear the. You're like, oh my God. He's choking on his oxygen tank. It's terrible. It's so sad. Seriously, though. When David Lee Roth is doing his jazz hands across the stage.
So awful.
You're like, oh God, no. Please don't do that.
Jump. It's like, I can't jump. If I do, I'll break my knee.
Jump! I'm hurt! Call an ambulance!
I broke my hip!
Axl Rose.
Oh, sounds so awful.
So fat. Oh, man. People loved him, though, when they played here. They had to, though, because they paid $250 for a ticket, so they convinced themselves that it sounded good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's no old man Paul McCartney, though.
No, man. Paul McCartney looks the same for like the last 30 years. Plus, he just goes bloop-a-doop-a-doo. I mean, come on. That's not so hard. Yeah. Oh, he's been doing old man music since he was in his 20s. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's the difference there. All right, let me see. We did Billy D's. Thank you, Billy. We did the Vox Populi. Uh-huh. Movie news is over. Oh, man, that means it is time to start lowering the wheels and get ready to land this thing.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right.
Here we go, Trey. I have 10 questions, mm-hmm. and I need 10 answers.
Okay.
Number one, Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Why ask why?
Because.
Number two, where is the spaceman?
Next to Waldo.
Number three, what is in store for 2024?
24-pack of beer.
Number four, is this all there is?
Nope.
Number five, Beefaroni or Beefcake Tony?
Beefcake!
Number six, Fantastic Four. What is it good for?
Fire.
Number seven, do monkeys need barbers?
Of course.
Number eight, have you ever seen an elephant fly?
Yes.
Number nine, what three things do you need to survive in two words or less?
Wait, can I change my last answer?
Yes, you can.
Never!
All right, back to number nine.
Okay.
What three things do you need to survive in two words or less?
A pussy.
Okay.
Number 10.
There you go.
What is your go-to karaoke song?
Crazy by CeeLo Green.
All right, there you go. That's crazy. That's a good one. We got the pink bag, the purple bag. Trey, mm-hmm. which one do you maybe want to go home with today?
The purple.
Purple bag. All right. Drew, break out that purple bag and tell Trey what's inside it.
sir, you may get to go home with a widescreen copy of V for Vendetta starring Natalie Portman and Hugo Weaving.
All right.
You know what? I actually like that.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. Mm-hmm. We got a copy of Speed Shots. It's a model kit. You can build a cardboard race car.
Nice. Right. It's a model, man. It's a model kit.
I'm looking at like that. Vehicles, microcars, you insert and press play. They're key. Okay, so it's like a key launching micro machine. But,
it's my gosh.
Only probably costs like 2 cents.
Yeah.
We got you some glow sticks for your Raven.
No.
We know you got a rave.
Yeah.
And we got you a durag.
And a do-rag.
You got a do-rag, buddy. Oh,
you know what?
It's spelled,
the hood.
It's spelled D-U-R-A-G, yeah. By the way.
Yeah, it's a do-rag. It's a do-rag.
A do-rag.
So you can take all that stuff, Trey, home. That is all yours. Or we put that bag away. You never see it again. And instead, you take what we have in a box right over here.
What's in a box? What's in a fucking box?
There we go, Trey.
Oh, my God. The Swerve Jones Show has never taken a bag.
Always gone box. Yeah. Interesting.
But you know what? That bag screams Swervy Jones Show.
Do-rag, Beaver Vendetta, yeah. Cardboard model kit.
Key launch micro machine.
Now
we're going in the box.
We're going in the box. All right. Pop open that top. Let's see what's inside.
Goddamn cat there. Oh, it's an I Can't Adult Today mug in doo-doo brown.
Yeah, it's a doo-doo brown coffee mug or hot tea mug that says I can't adult today.
I love it.
Because we're contributing to the infantilization of America.
Did you know we just got a Keurig for the studio?
Did you really?
Yes. Hey. Now we got a coffee mug.
Now you got a studio mug.
Nice.
There you go. All right. Well, Trey, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. I appreciate it.
No problem.
You are the man. We had a good time. Everyone, listen to the Swervy Jones Show. New episodes every Monday. And sign up to be a member. Drew, thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Remember to break up the big banks, be excellent to each other, free Mumia Abu-Jamal, and read more books. We are going to go get some grilled meats from Big Tim Murphy. He's in a parking lot somewhere in Longwood. Did you know that?
No.
He's in a parking lot in Longwood. We're going to go get some grilled meats.
Oh, please. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Peace out, everyone. Hello, check 1, 2. Check 1, 2, there we go.
Hello.
Did you say hello?
I said hello.
Hello? How do you spell that? H-U-L-L-O-O?
No, just like Baloo the Bear, but no.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
H-A-L-O-O.
Oh, gotcha.
Let me get a...
I thought Baloo was B-A-L-O-U.
B-L-O-U. Let me get a mic. Trey, let me get a mic check 1, 2.
Hello. Oh, my.
Hello, Satan. How you doing?
Oh my, I am satanic George Decay.
That's some good stuff there.
Man.
That's some good stuff. See, and then I can individually... come on, Drew, give me 1, 2.
1, 2, 3, 4, get your woman on the floor. You gotta get up to get down.
I'm gonna jam it to the new
I mean, might as well.
See, Trey, I didn't have yours.
We've got Satan over here. We've got...
Yes.
No, now you're both.
Oh, hey. Oh, hey there. It's the lady. It's like sexy chipmunks.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's kind of weird.
I can individually... my options aren't unlimited. Okay.
Limited
A PFT Media production.